Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The late James Buchanan's Nobel Prize for Economics and Bronze Star are now housed in the James E. Walker Library at MTSU. The eminent economist, Murfreesboro native, and Middle Tennessee State Teachers College graduate died on January 9th of 2013 at the age of 93. But Buchanan was only the latest in a long line of people of impressive accomplishments. His grandfather was governor of Tennessee. His ancestors were pioneers and agricultural activists. The book, From Nashboro to the Nobel Prize, The Buchanans of Tennessee, chronicles this Tennessee family. Co-author and former economics professor Dr. Reuben Kyle joins me to talk about it after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are some of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. Dr. Sekou Franklin, professor of political science at MTSU, is the 2014 recipient of the university's John Pleas Faculty Recognition Award for excellence in teaching, research, and service. Franklin coordinates the university's Urban Studies minor and has published works on urban politics, social movements, juvenile justice, and the death penalty, among other topics. Journalist Soledad O'Brien is headlining 2 months of events in observance of National Women's History Month at MTSU. O'Brien will be the keynote speaker at 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 26th in the Student Union Ballroom. Her topic will be diversity on TV, behind the scenes, and in our lives. And an agreement signed February 27th between MTSU and Columbia State will allow community college students to earn a bachelor's degree in agribusiness without ever having to leave Marshall County. For MTSU News at any time, go to MTSUnews.com.
Hey, Reuben, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Your co-author is Kevin H. Kaysen, and a lot of thorough research went into this book. How much help did you get from the Buchanan family?
In 2006, the Buchanan family made a donation to the Walker Library. The result of that is a Buchanan family reading room on the fourth floor of the library. And in conjunction with that, they wanted to have something written about Dr. Buchanan, the economist, and the family, the Buchanan family. So, and I was asked to do this on the recommendation of a couple of my friends and colleagues, members of the faculty, because I'm an economist. And as a result, I spent a number of years working on this. And all along the way, I had help from Dr. Buchanan himself on a couple of several occasions, and his sister, was at one point, I think they called her the director of the campus school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And her son, who was Jeff Worley, who's I guess the main motivator of the whole project.
James Buchanan's ancestors were Scotch-Irish, not unlike a lot of people who settled in the Cumberland Gap. What role did they play in settling near what was then called Nashboro, B-O-R-O-U-G-H, in the 1700s?
Well, the Buchanan family at that time, John Buchanan and his wife and their children, three sons and two daughters, came from, they had lived in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
okay, and over some period of time, I'm not sure exactly when they moved from one place to another, but over that some period of time, in the late 1770s, they moved in the direction of Tennessee. And some of them followed a path that many settlers, many people who came to what's now Middle Tennessee, went through Upper East Tennessee into Kentucky, to what were called the Kentucky Settlements, and some of them, I believe that it was John Buchanan's son John, also another John. In my book, I distinguish between them, calling the son Major John because he was a major in the militia, in the local militia. Major John and one of his brothers came to what's now Nashville, in the bend of the Cumberland in December, late December of 1779, at the same time that James Robertson and his group of people that came from Upper East Tennessee arrived. And they helped build the first forts there. They were called stations for the first group of permanent settlers. There had been European explorers and hunters here several times for probably more than a century or about a century before that, but there had been no permanent settlers until that point. And so the Buchanans were among the very first permanent settlers at the Bend in the Cumberland, what next became Nashborough, Fort Nashborough, and later became Nashville.
We'll take a quick break here and be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
Specialized training in forensic science prepares tomorrow's professionals through the Forensic Institute for Research and Education, or FIRE. The Forensic Anthropology Search and Recovery Team assists law enforcement with skeletal remains at crime scenes. Legendary forensic scientists provide lectures free to the public, and high school students work realistic crime scenes each summer at our CSI MTSU camp. I'm Dr. Hugh Berryman, Director of FIRE.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about the late economist James Buchanan and Dr. Reuben Kyle's book, From Nashborough to the Nobel Prize, about James Buchanan's entire family tree. Could you explain, Reuben, the role the Buchanans, who were farm people from day one, played in standing up for farmers' rights or populist politics?
All right. Well, after the Civil War, there were lots of things, lots of changes going on across the country, and in the United and in the South. The South was recovering from the devastation of the Civil War, among other things, and among the changes were pretty rapid technological changes in agriculture. The result of that was that farm prices fell. And there was farmers naturally reacted against that. Some economists argue that what really happened was not that their level of income fell so much, but the fact that they were now subject to the vagaries of competitive markets, which they had not been before when they were subsistence farmers, by and large. So, in any case, there was a lot of aggravation, unrest, anxiety among farmers and among the people who lived in rural areas across the country, and among those in part of that. That experience, there were some groups of there were groups that organized, and one of those was a group that was led by John Price Buchanan. Okay, he was the great grandson of the man that I call Major John Buchanan. Okay, and John Price Buchanan became involved in local politics, as well as being the head of this so-called Farmers Alliance, and he was elected to the state legislature in 1886, and then again in 1888, and then in 1890 he was elected governor of the state of Tennessee.
So even long before Dr. James Buchanan, the Nobel Prize laureate, came along, his ancestors were wrestling with market economics.
Exactly right. Exactly. They were.
What were the politics of Governor John Price Buchanan?
John Price Buchanan was what some would describe as a populist. There was a group, organized group, political group called Populists, the Populist Party, in that same time period in the 1880s. Many of John Price Buchanan's sympathies were with them, but he never called himself a populist, okay? However, his ideas were similar to theirs. They were concerned about the farm prices and situation with agriculture and farming. So his grandson didn't have a great deal of sympathy for those, for a lot of his views. But the fact of the matter is that in some respects they were similar in the fact that they were independent thinkers, okay, and strong-minded people in what they believed.
Where exactly would he and his famous grandson part company on economic perspectives?
Well, John Price Buchanan and the Farmers Alliance, among other things, they wanted to have some kind of protection for farm prices, okay? And they proposed some ideas that would have been, in a sense, kind of a protection for farm prices, not unlike what really came along later in the 1930s, but a kind of a precursor of those things. And James McGill Buchanan, Jr., by the way, was definitely not in favor of that sort of thing. He was a man who believed in the free markets and
laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire, exactly so. And so he was not in favor of those kind of things. And there are, in some respects, John Price Buchanan might be put in a category that favored, to some extent, a stronger government than maybe his grandson did. Although that's pretty complicated, and I wouldn't put too much emphasis on that difference.
You wouldn't call it black and white. The differences are more nuanced than that. You can't just put a black hat on one and a white hat on the other person.
In my view, that's right. That's correct. I mean, I think there are people today who see that, who would see it that way, but I'm really not sure. I mean, John Price Buchanan as governor was very much a kind of a hands-off governor. I mean, he didn't have a great political agenda, and he didn't attempt to revolutionize Tennessee state government.
Whereas his grandson, the Nobel laureate, as an economist and a deep thinker, you would expect to have a far more nuanced and complicated view of the entire economic picture.
Exactly.
We'll take one more break here, and we'll return. This is MTSU on the Record.
Expanding Your Horizons is an annual hands-on science and math conference for middle and high school girls. EYH enables girls to investigate careers in science and math and to talk with female leaders in those fields that are so essential to our nation's future. EYH also provides the girls with fun hands-on activities and allows them to meet girls with similar interests. I'm Dr. Judith Iriarte-Gross, EYH Director.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
Dr. Reuben Kyle is a former economics professor here at MTSU and co-author with Kevin H. Kaysen of From Nashboro to the Nobel Prize, The Buchanans of Tennessee. It's a history of the family of the late Nobel laureate James Buchanan, who graduated from this institution back when it was Middle Tennessee State Teachers College. What is the public choice theory of economics for which Dr. Buchanan is known, and how did he fashion it?
Well, public choice is really about the economics of decision making in the public sector. Okay, it's about collective decisions, and in the structure of it. Dr. Buchanan looked at the decision-making process as the result of decisions made by individuals, much like a market-based economy. Okay, except in terms of public decisions, the building of roads, the building of schools, the operation of government. And so he looked, one of his descriptions of public choice is politics without illusion, something to that effect. I don't remember exactly the quote right this minute. But, I mean, he thought that the people involved in the political process were making decisions based upon their own best interest. Okay, now you can have a kind of take a kind of jaundiced view of that and think of people as purely self-centered and self-interested. He did not necessarily believe that. He believed that people could have concerns for others, but nonetheless, their decisions were based upon their perception of what their interests were. Like you're interested when you go to the grocery store, okay? You make a decision about what you're going to buy based upon how much money you have in your pocket and what your tastes and preferences are.
And your concern for others could very well fulfill your own self-interest, your own agenda, because it either puts money in your pocket or it fulfills you in some sort of emotional or professional way.
Exactly.
Depending upon your circumstances.
Right.
And so this belief is basically directly at odds with the political concept of collectivism, which was
exactly.
at the heart of the communist system in the Soviet Union, for example.
Right. Yes, exactly right. And within the discipline of economics, there were those that were looking at public decision making by modeling things not on the basis of individual decisions, but on some sort of collective body. Okay,
everything for the good of the state.
Everything, or for the good of the people, for example, mm-hmm. or for the good of society. Okay, and so Buchanan's argument was that people don't make decisions that way. They make that's not a collective decision process. There are individuals that participate in what ends up being a collective decision.
So, ironically, he's quoted as saying that he would have been a socialist in something or something close to it in his younger years. Why is that?
Well, I think a little different view of that. I think what he said was that if he had lived in Europe, okay, in a society that was highly structured and class-based society, that he would have taken a different view, that he would have had that he might have been a socialist. But that was because of his personal views about discrimination on the basis of social status.
Governments, even in Western Europe, tend to lean more toward a socialist model, especially in France, right, than they do in the United States.
That's true, and I mean, that's the result of kind of a long history of conflict about social standing and class structure that took place in Europe hasn't had the same impact as in the United States, in America, North America.
Can you explain what sort of impact the public choice theory had on the discipline of economics?
Well, it's become a separate kind of sub-discipline in economics. Buchanan himself didn't like that terminology. He called this his research program that he was interested in. So there are people who kind of specialize in this area within the discipline of economics. And it's affected the broader discipline. I mean, when people do economic analyses of different things, they incorporate some of the things that have been developed under the umbrella of public choice.
Has the concept of public choice been manipulated one way or another by politicians who have their own agendas to fulfill?
I think there are some that have tried to do that. Now, Buchanan himself was definitely not a political creature. He never associated himself or allowed himself to be associated with any politician or a political party or anything of that sort.
We'll take one more break and we'll return. This is MTSU on the Record.
The
The MTSU Department of Art has the newest facility for visual arts in the state with approximately 50,000 square feet of space, including high-tech computers and computer-driven equipment for multimedia, graphic design, printmaking, sculpture, painting, and ceramics. We feature a visiting artist lecture program and an exhibition program that exposes students to work by national and international artists. This is Jean Nagy, Chair of the Department of Art.
To find out more, visit mtsunews.com.
Talking about From Nashboro to the Nobel Prize, a book by Reuben Kyle, former economics professor here at MTSU, and Dr. Kevin Kaysen of the History Department. What did writing this book mean to you personally?
Well, it was a wonderful experience. I mean, I have written a number of things over my career and a lot of different audiences, academic audiences and some broader audiences, but I had never written a book before, and I'd never done research of this sort. So it was a completely new experience, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, it was a great experience, and it couldn't have come at a better time, right, when I... After I stopped being a faculty member here at MTSU.
You know, Dr. Buchanan was a native son of the three Nobel laureates associated with MTSU. He is the only native Murfreesboroan, Rutherford Countyan. Why didn't he stay down here?
Why didn't he stay in Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Well, for one thing... For one thing, the Second World War interrupted his education and his development, and so he went off to war. And after the war was over, and he had an opportunity, he was became enrolled at the University of Chicago in the economics department, which is one of the very best economics departments in the world.
That's got to be top 10, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Along with MIT
Wharton.
Harvard
and MIT and Cal Berkeley and Chicago are the very best in the world. And so after he finished his degree, he did teach it for a time at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. Okay, and then he moved a couple of times, and he went to the University of Virginia. And after that, that was some time in the late 1950s, and he spent much of the rest of his life in Virginia. All right, when I met him, he said that he felt at that point in his life that he was as much a Virginian as anything else. But he had a special place in his heart for Tennessee and for Murfreesboro and MTSU.
How long was he at George Mason?
He went to George Mason. He had several different stops along the way in Virginia. He was at three different Virginia institutions, the University of Virginia and Virginia Tech, and then finally at George Mason. And he went to George Mason, I think it was sometime in the 1980s. I don't remember exactly the date.
Yeah, that was his last university.
That was his last university, and he was still affiliated. He was emeritus by the last few years of his life, but he was still involved there and visited the campus on a regular basis.
He even visited the campus just a few years ago. He was in his late 80s, early 90s at the time. Dr. John Vile, the dean of the Honors College, sort of shepherded him around for a while when he was not in the best of health, but he made the trip anyway.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and at that point, when we dedicated the Buchanan family reading room, he came down. And he was a great sponsor of the Honors College and the Buchanan Scholars Program within the Honors College.
And that's a full 4-year ride.
It
pays for all 4 years.
But he also left a considerable amount of money to support the program into the future. But in any case, when he came at that point, when you're talking about the university sent one of its airplanes to Blacksburg, Virginia, where he lived, and flew him down to Murfreesboro because he was, as you say, he was in his late 80s, and When you say he wasn't in good shape, he was still, I mean, up to the end of his life, he was pretty remarkably...
He was intellectually and verbally spry, for sure.
Absolutely. He physically had slowed down, but he was still remarkably active.
We'll take one more break, and we'll be right back. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Concrete Industry Management Program at MTSU fills the need for trained personnel who know concrete technology and techniques. Our alumni go into the marketplace grounded in basic math and science and able to promote products or services related to the industry. Our participation in the Academic Common Market ensures talented students in other states a chance to enroll on an in-state tuition basis. This is Dr. Heather Brown, Director of the program.
To find out more information on this or other university programs, visit mtsunews.com.
In our final moments with Dr. Reuben Kyle, co-author of From Nashboro to the Nobel Prize, do you see any commonalities or common threads? You're an economist, not a geneticist, so putting the old nature versus nurture argument to you is really not fair or appropriate. But in looking at the entire Buchanan family line, do you see any common threads, any common legacies, any common heritages or traits or personality similarities?
Oh, I absolutely. I mean, it's really a remarkable family from the beginning to today. I mean, they're just they're as I said a minute ago, they're independent thinkers. Very hardworking people. And just about everything that Buchanan family has done, they have excelled at. And so, yes, I think there's definitely is a common thread. I mean, whether or not you're right, I'm not a geneticist. I don't know if there's a gene for that. But they definitely share a lot of characteristics, resilience. Determination, independent thinking.
Well, it could possibly also be nurture, as the influence of one's most immediate family members who were influenced by their parents, who were influenced by their parents, and so forth and so on. The book is called From Nashboro to the Nobel Prize, The Buchanans of Tennessee, published by Twin Oaks Press, and all proceeds from the sale of the book go to MTSU's Buchanan Fellowship Program. Just go online and Google Twin Oaks Press, which has published any number of books by MTSU personnel, and you'll see a fine array of reading material. Dr. Reuben Kyle, thank you very much.
Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.